Welcome to the Strong Men, Strong Marriages podcast. Here we are on a mission to get strong, get attractive, and get the marriage of our dreams. I'm your host, Mike Frazier. Let's do this. All right, men, welcome to today's episode of Strong Men, Strong Marriages. What to do when your wife has depression, anxiety, or PTSD? My name is Mike Frazier. I'm a psychiatrist and marriage coach, and I help high-achieving men save their marriage. So I feel like I have a unique ability to talk about this. Being a psychiatrist, I understand depression, anxiety, and PTSD. Also, my wife has had issues with these. And so, you know, as we've worked through that, we've learned some things that I wanted to share today. And also, as I've worked with other guys whose wives have struggled with similar things. So unfortunately, these are very common problems. About 10% of women suffer from depression. These are from the United States, these statistics. About 23% of women suffer from anxiety. And these are like anxiety disorder, something that's more serious. So about one in every four. About 8% of women suffer from PTSD, so about 1 in 10. And about 25% of women have been through some sort of sexual assault, which that's going to, if it doesn't cause full-blown PTSD, it can cause issues with sex for reasons that we're going to talk about when we talk about the PTSD part. So if your wife does happen to suffer from one or more of these, again, first of all, you're not alone. I think sometimes it can feel really lonely in that, both for her and for you. So you're not alone. It's a common issue. And we understand this is hard on her to have problems with depression, anxiety. I didn't even talk about postpartum depression, which is, again, about a 1 in 4 kind of thing that women can suffer from. And it's hard. Like, it's hard to be living in that spot. But it's also hard on you as the husband, as the support person, as someone who's trying to help your wife. And if you have other kids, maybe she's suffering enough and having enough struggle that you have to kind of pick up where she would usually be doing things. You have to do more of that. It's not easy, guys. So last week we talked about gratitude and we talked about finding meaning in suffering, right? So we're going to talk about that today for both for her and for you. But you can't really control how she deals with this. And this is kind of the hard part for us as guys and high-achieving guys. We like to solve problems. We like to get things done and finished. With these ones, though, we can't do that for our wife, right? We can't just make her stop being depressed or stop being anxious or stop having PTSD or get over her sexual assault and the things that came with that. You know, we can't just get in there and fix that. And that's frustrating. But unfortunately, that's how it is. So can you find meaning? So I definitely recommend Man's Search for Meaning. It's an outstanding book, but he talks about just finding meaning in suffering. So again, we talked about this some last week, but as a review, going through difficult things, it does a few important things for us that I don't know if there's really another way to do it. So for one, it helps you relate to other people. So for me, when I see a husband who's struggling with a wife who is having depression, anxiety, or PTSD, like I can relate to that person really well. Like I get that. I get that pain, that you have pain, that your wife has pain, that you feel like there's nothing you can do about it. And it's hard, right? So I can, if you're going through this, like I can relate to you well because I've been through something similar. And there's something special about that when you go through a similar difficult experience, you're able to connect at a deep level. Also, the bad times really do help you appreciate the good times. You know, if you can get through these hard times together, it really strengthens that bond. And it also helps you appreciate those good times. Like, hey, we got through that. Now things are good. We can appreciate that even more. Okay. Probably, I think, so as a Christian guy myself, I think one of the biggest reasons we go through these difficulties is to develop Christ-like character traits. I wish there was another way to develop things like patience or long-suffering or gentleness or compassion or persistence or commitment, but I don't think there is. I don't think there's a way to develop those without going through some difficulty. You know, you can't develop patience unless you have something that tries your patience. It's like to get stronger, you have to lift weights. You have to put resistance against your body to build strength. Same thing with these, what I call spiritual strengths. To build patience, you have to have stuff that tests your patience. To build love, you have to try to love someone that's kind of hard to love. Long suffering, right? Being able to bear things without complaining. compassion, being able to see someone through God's eyes. We're going to talk about that quite a bit today. Commitment, right? It's easy to commit to something that's easy, right? In a lot of the traditional marriage vows, you say in sickness and health. Like, these are sicknesses, depression, anxiety, PTSD. So are you going to commit? Are you going to stay with her even when she's like that, right? Even when she's having these things, even when it's hard. Like, you don't know how strong your commitment is until it's tested. And then you develop a real commitment and a strength. So there is purpose to this, right? If you're a believer in God, a Christian guy, or just kind of the universe in general or whatever, you know, you can maybe see how these trials, that's how you build it. That's how you build these strengths. So again, as we're going through this today, keep that in mind, right? That there's a reason for this. There's good that can come of it if you will let it. So as far as depression goes, here's what you want to be looking out for. If you're like, huh, you know, I'm not sure if my wife's depressed or not. So just kind of overall sadness, you know, that's typically what we think of for depression, but also irritability. If she's just a lot more irritable than usual. Now, look, you know, women, they go on their period. That can be part of it too. But this is more of a sustained kind of thing, right? Just much more irritable than usual, much more sad. Changes in sleep, either having difficulty sleeping or maybe sleeping too much. Low interest in activity. So she used to really like to go out with friends. Now she doesn't want to. She used to really enjoy cooking. Now she doesn't like it. She used to really like to play sports or work out, and now she doesn't. Okay, so like a decrease in that interest. Excessive guilt, feeling like everything's her fault, blaming herself for stuff that really doesn't make sense for her to blame herself for. Low energy, just having a hard time getting up in the mornings, feeling like a heavy body. Trouble concentrating, can't focus, maybe losing track of things, more forgetful than usual. Changes in appetite, maybe eating less than usual or maybe eating more than usual. So to meet the criteria for major depressive disorder, you need to have 5 of those for 2 weeks or more. At that point, this is someone that could maybe benefit even from medication, definitely from some therapy or some coaching, right? And I mean, that's something you could share with your wife, right? If you see these things happening to her, like, hey, you know, really, there's a diagnosis for this. It's major depressive disorder, and there's some things you can do to help it, right? Sometimes it's a little bit hard to see in yourself, but if you can kind of point these out to her and just say, hey, look, you know, these are the symptoms. Are you experiencing this? Okay, like, let's get you some help. That can be really powerful. So another very important one, right? And this is where things get serious, is if she's having thoughts about wanting to die or thoughts about even killing herself. So if she's at that point, like, this is the time to step in. Like, I'm saying you can't fix things for her and you can't, you know, do everything for her. That's true. But when she starts saying things like, I want to die, I'm thinking of killing myself, like, it's time to take it to the next level. So you need to call either a suicide hotline. There's 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K, or just call 911 and get some help. And they can help connect you with resources. But again, you don't want to be trying to deal with that on your own. You know, get some help if she's at that point. And a lot of times if your wife is at that point, she's going to not really be able to get out of it by herself. Okay. You're going to need to step in and sort of manage it, right? Like, depression can be a terminal illness, meaning you can die from it. The main way people die from depression is by suicide. And so, you know, if your wife was like having a heart attack, you wouldn't just like wait and, you know, tell her, you know, well, you should probably eat healthier. You know, you'd call 911 and get her some help. So that's, if she's having suicidal thoughts, depression's at a very severe state to where you need to call 911 and get her some help. So besides those emergency situations, right, what else can you do if your wife is suffering from depression right now? So number one, guys, and this is true for all of these, is taking care of yourself. So if you are not feeling good in body, mind, heart, and spirit, you can't really do a very good job of helping her. So for your own body, right, you need to make sure you're exercising, you're eating well, you're getting enough sleep. Okay. Those are the big ones. For your mind, make sure you're, if you're in the program, you're doing the state for models. If you haven't learned that yet, you know, make sure you're just kind of writing out your thoughts and, you know, filling your mind with good things, whether that's, if you're a religious guy, maybe that's the Bible or scriptures. Maybe that's just reading good books. or maybe that's, you know, listening to uplifting music that really gets you going and motivated. Okay. For your heart, make sure you've got good connections with other people. Okay. It can be pretty isolating if your wife is going through depression. Like sometimes you sort of shut down other things so you can make sure you take care of her. That's a mistake overall. You want to make sure you're still maintaining good friendships with other people. Okay. Because look, it's kind of hard. It's kind of draining if your wife is depressed and you're trying to help her all the time. It gets hard. And so make sure you're getting good connections with friends and family and other people that can help lift you and support you through this. And then spiritually, again, that's something that's really helpful for me is focusing on that, you know, connection with God, but also that meaning in suffering, right? Seeing like, okay, yeah, look, God, look, Jesus, I'm going through this. It's hard, but I can see, you know, there's purpose in this. You know, I can see this is helping me become more like you and, you know, help me do that. Help me learn that way. Okay. But again, music, getting out in the outdoors is another way you can feed your spirit through this. So guys, make sure you're in a good spot. Okay. You may say, no, I got to take care of her, but you can't really take very good care of her unless you're taking care of yourself first. Okay. Another big one is just being with her physically. This is one that I often overlooked, but learned over time is really powerful. You know, if my wife's really depressed, just being in the same room with her is really powerful. Sometimes she doesn't feel like talking. A lot of times maybe we feel like, okay, my wife's depressed. I have to talk to her. She's got to tell me what's wrong. Okay. It doesn't have to be that way. Sometimes she doesn't feel like talking, and just sitting in the same room with her is really powerful because it just sends the message. Look, I'm here with you. Not leaving, I'm here with you. And that's really, really powerful. Okay, trying to put yourself in her shoes. Again, it can be frustrating when she's down, not able to do as much as usual, okay? Or she's really irritable, that's especially hard. So, you know, trying to put yourself in her shoes. Okay, if I was feeling this way, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, I just felt down, I had low energy, you know, what would that be like for me? That can help you develop that compassion. Another way that's really, another thing that's been really helpful for me is try to see her like God sees her, and you can pray for that, ask for that, you know, see this as someone who's suffering, having a hard time. And, you know, you can channel that love and compassion and even strength as you try to see her as God or Jesus would see her. Another big thing you can do is just listen, right? And just say, hey, what's going on? You know, I want to hear what's up with you. But also ask, you know, do you want advice or do you just want me to listen right now? Right? That comes even a little more with anxiety. Sometimes with depression, it's so low energy that maybe she doesn't really feel like talking. You know, you can offer that. Just again, being with her physically, you're in the room with her. Hey, if you want to talk about anything, I'm here. Right. And then if she starts saying, oh, this and this and this, you're like, okay, do you want some ideas for that? Or do you want me to just listen? Okay? Before you start jumping in trying to be like, no, you need to do this and this. Okay. So directing her to appropriate therapy and medication resources. Again, if it's so severe that you need to like step in, then you need to just step in. But if it's kind of like, you know, she's down, again, sharing kind of those diagnostic criteria can be really powerful. Well, are you having trouble sleeping? Are you having low interest? Are you having trouble concentrating? She's like, yes. You're like, okay, well, you know, that does meet criteria for depression. And so there's things that can help with that. There's therapy and there's medication. Let's make sure we get that for you. And also making sure she knows, like, it's not a big deal. Like, it's not, you're not going to whine about the cost of that. You're just going to say, look, I want you to be healthy. That's more important to me than anything, right? Make sure she's clear on that, that it's not, you're not going to be upset about any kind of financial burden that that might cause. And that's like the most important thing you could spend money on, right? Okay. Another thing you can do is just remind her that you care, right? Just telling her, hey, like, I care about you. I'm here with you, you know, and the good that she is doing. Sometimes when you get depressed, it's hard to see anything good that you're doing. And you may even say, hey, look, you're still doing a great job as a mom. You're still here. You're still, you know, taking care of things. And she might not believe any of it, but it's still useful for you to share some of that with her. Even if it doesn't seem like it, right? So encourage her to do her own self-care, right? With body, mind, heart, and spirit. So she might not feel much like exercising, but if you can just kind of like go take a walk with her, right? Get her body moving. That's one of the big things that helps depression and anxiety is getting physical exercise. with her mind, right? Hey, have you listened to some music that you like? Are you, you know, watching shows that you like? With her heart, is she, you know, encourage her to be out with friends if she can, or at least like answer phone calls and that kind of thing. She might shut all of this down if depression's really bad, but, you know, just saying, hey, like these things can help, you know? And again, this is the balance, right? You don't want to be doing too much for her, right? You don't want to be, feel like you're forcing her to do something, but you want to show her that you care and kind of offer her, hey, like things can get better and here's some things that can help. Spiritually, you know, encourage her to connect with God or with nature, with purpose, you know, those kind of things. Again, getting outdoors, big one. That light, sunlight helps kind of reset things. And just being outdoors in nature, there's a lot of evidence that that does help depression. So another thing is to know for yourself that this is going to pass. Okay. Depression, major depressive disorder, it comes in waves, right? So you're okay, and then you're really down, and then you're okay, and then you're really down. But eventually you do come out of it. So remind yourself of that. Remind her of that too. Hey, look, this is an up and down cycle. We're going to come out of it. Like things will get better. Especially with postpartum, you know, that's one that for sure, you know, does get better. If it's really severe, again, you do need to go see like a doctor, especially if there's like hallucinations with that. You need to go see a doctor and get on some medication. But yeah, be careful not to take responsibility for her depression. Okay. Unless it's to that point where it's dangerous to her or to the kids, then you need to step in. You get, you know, you call 911. This is an emergency. But if not, you know, you're encouraging and you're, you know, pointing to some resources, but you're not forcing it, right? And you're letting her know, look, this is going to pass. I'm here with you. You know, there are things that can help. I want you to do those, but it's your choice, right? Okay. And again, for me, just to kind of emphasize this one again, just kind of being in the room physically with her or sitting next to her and not even talking, you know, that's been one of the most helpful things for her and for me, you know, at the time she's really struggled with depression. Okay, so that's depression. So for anxiety, symptoms that you want to watch for here. So changes in sleep. Okay, usually it's going to be not enough sleep. And then there's the mental symptoms of anxiety, which is worry. I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. You know, what about this? What about that? What if this happens? And then there's the physical symptoms of anxiety. So from head to toe, those can be things like changes in vision, dry mouth. Can be, you know, heart palpitations, fast breathing, stomach upset, nausea, diarrhea. You can have tingling even in your hands and feet if it's like a panic attack type of thing. Irritability, again, can be part of that. And then just feeling overwhelmed. Also, panic attacks can be part of anxiety where it's just like this overwhelming sudden anxiety. So how can you help if your wife is struggling with anxiety? So again, take care of yourself first, right? If your wife's struggling with it, you know, you don't want to be caught up in that same worry, over-anxious cycle, okay? Take care of your body, eat right, exercise, sleep well, take care of your mind, write your thoughts down, do your state fair models if you know that, that's part of the, if you're part of the program. For your heart, make sure you're with people that lift you up, right? Support you. Spiritually, again, try to see meaning in this. Okay, so anxiety is a big one where you being able to listen is going to be really powerful, okay? But again, the big point here is, you know, you want to be there, offer to listen, but not just jump right in and try to solve it. Well, I'm worried about taking the kids to school. Oh, well, I'll take care of that. Oh, well, I'm worried about Christmas presents. Well, you know, don't worry, the kids don't really care, right? It's coming from a good place. You want to sort of solve it for her. But it usually doesn't really help unless she's asking for solutions. So, you know, if she's worried, just say, okay, like, you know, I can listen to that. You know, let me hear what's going on. Do you want advice on that? Or do you just want me to listen right now? Okay. And then she can choose. Yeah, I want some ideas. You're like, okay, how about this? She's like, no, I just want you to listen. You're like, okay, I can just listen. And it's weird, guys, but it actually does help her for you to just listen. And a lot of times she'll be able to kind of solve it on her own, but sometimes she has to just talk it out. Again, same idea, putting yourself in her shoes. Okay, so she's worried about us. How would that feel? How would it feel to be anxious about this? How does God see her, right? Someone that's you know, concerned and worried right now, handling this anxiety. Again, direct her to therapy and medication resources if that's what she wants, or if it's very severe. If she does have that long list of things to do, just try to take some of it off her plate. It's like, oh, I'm worried about this and this and this. You're like, okay, you know, have you written that down? Do you have a list of things? Yeah, you know, I've got this mile-long to-do list. Like, okay, would you like help with any of that? Okay, can I take some of that off your plate? And that will help her anxiety. So a big thing for anxiety, right? It's your fight or flight system that's kind of kicking in. So slow breathing is a huge thing that can help. So you can just say, hey, look, you know, I learned this today, or I learned this from whatever, but just taking some slow breaths when you're feeling anxious like this actually helps. Like, there's a physical reason. It activates your vagus nerve, which activates your parasympathetic nervous system response. I mean, you could go technical like that. You can just say, no, like, it really does slow your heart rate down. It slows, you know, just slows down that whole anxiety response in your body. So just take like 5 slow breaths. It really makes a big difference. Okay. So just, it's like, I just took 2 breaths. And it really works, right? It helps you feel less anxious. Also, writing out your worries is another simple thing that really helps with anxiety. A lot of times worries seem a lot bigger in our mind, and then when we write them down, we're like, oh, I guess that's not that big a deal after all. And again, remember not to take her anxiety on yourself, okay? So again, this is where you know, asking, do you want advice or help, or do you just want me to listen, will really help you, right? So you're not taking it on yourself. Okay. So again, as a summary for what's been most helpful for us in our marriage, listening, you know, asking if she wants help with things, or if she just wants me to listen, and then taking things off her plate, those have been really the most helpful for anxiety, I think. Okay. So now we're going to go into PTSD. So this is a big one. It's a hard one. Okay. So post-traumatic stress disorder, it means you had some kind of trauma, something really awful happened to you, and now you're having a series of symptoms that are kind of make sense for what happened, okay? They don't happen to everybody that has a traumatic experience, but they do happen to a decent amount of people. So one of them, so you have the traumatic experience, and then you have re-experiencing of it, meaning that memory keeps coming back to you. So that can be in nightmares, that can be in flashbacks where you're just walking around and then all of a sudden, boom, like you feel like you're back in that spot. Sometimes it's not that severe, but it's just like you're walking, like all of a sudden you kind of remember it, right? Maybe you're not all the way back in that moment. That's what a real flashback is. But you just kind of remember it. That memory pops to mind. So these happen usually by what's referred to as a trigger. A trigger is basically just some kind of sensation that reminds your brain of that traumatic experience. So that could be something you see, that could be something you hear, that could be something you touch, that could be something you smell, that could be something you taste. It can also just be an anniversary date, right? And sometimes people won't even be aware of this, but then they'll suddenly remember, oh shoot, yeah, today's the day that rape happened, or today's the day that I got in that car accident or whatever, but your body does remember it. So you get this re-experiencing thing where that memory just doesn't seem to quite go away. It doesn't really fade to the background. It keeps popping up. So then with that, you also get avoidance, because you're like, man, whenever I, you know, see that certain sign, or whenever I smell that certain thing, it brings this up. So I need to avoid that. I just need to not be around that. Or, you know, where the rape happened, for example, you never want to go around that neighborhood again, okay, because that reminds you of something awful that happened. It's understandable, right? It makes sense, but it's a symptom of PTSD. So you get this re-experiencing, and then you get the avoidance because you're trying to avoid these triggers, right? On top of this, you get depressive and anxious symptoms. Sometimes you get like some risk-taking things where you're looking for sort of an adrenaline rush to kind of get rid of these thoughts and memories. Substance abuse can be part of it because you're trying to get rid of those memories. Okay. So how can you help PTSD? If your wife has PTSD, she had a traumatic experience, or maybe multiple. That was my wife's situation. She was, you know, sex trafficked for many years. So there's a lot of trauma there. There's a lot of bad experiences. There's a lot of things that remind her of trauma. Okay. So how can I help that? How can you help that if your wife went through something difficult? Again, first off, you take care of yourself. Take care of your body. Make sure you're sleeping well, you're eating well, you're exercising. Okay. You're getting out into nature. All right. For your mind, you're writing down your worries. You're taking care of your own thoughts. You're putting in uplifting things. For your heart, you're connected with people that support you and love you and care about you. And you communicate with them often. For your spirit, you're connected with God. You kind of try to see some purpose in this. Again, encourage therapy and medications if necessary. PTSD is one of those things that it pretty much needs some therapy to get through. Some people, you know, maybe can do it on their own, but most people are going to need that. So, because look, it's a hard life, you know, especially if it's been a lot of trauma, a lot of things are going to be a trigger, right? A lot of things you see, smell, hear, taste, lots of days, right? So therapy can help someone make it so those triggers are not so powerful. Okay. So you can start living your life without having to constantly be reminded of these difficult things. One of the hardest things to do with this one is to try not to take the triggers personally. So especially if your wife has sexual trauma, maybe sex is hard for her, and you're like, come on, like I didn't traumatize you. You know, I'm not the guy that would do that to you. So it's hard. It's hard not to take it personally. But this is where, again, putting yourself in her shoes and trying to see her as God sees her can be really, really powerful. So, you know, for me, I got in a car accident one time. And for a long time after that, and still a little bit, you know, when I got hit from behind, it was on the highway. So now when I see headlights in my rearview mirror, it kind of reminds me of that. It's not so much now, but this was years ago. Like it took years to kind of not really have that pop up as much. And again, it wasn't even conscious. It was just like, you see those headlights in the mirror and I kind of froze a little bit. So having that experience did help me sort of understand her. It's like, wow, you know, that was something relatively minor. Like I was fine. Thankfully, you know, physically nothing really happened to me. You know, still, it freaked me out to see that. So, you know, to kind of put myself in her shoes and say, okay, look, you know, sexually, basically everything has been tainted that way. So now anything sexual, a lot of times it brings up those memories. Like that'd be hard. Okay. So again, trying to get in her perspective helps me not take it quite as personally, right? That's been really powerful. Or seeing her as God sees her also very powerful, saying, man, you know, this is someone that was really hurt and injured. And there's someone that needs to be taken care of and treated with patience and love, not with impatience and anger and saying, why can't you just get over it? And like, understand that I'm not that person. You know, those have been probably the most helpful ones for me as far as PTSD goes. Right. So then you also want to look for that balance between avoiding triggers, right, and helping her take responsibility for working through those triggers with therapy. So like some things you can maybe avoid, like if there's, you know, a certain part of town that you don't really need to go to, right, where, you know, a trauma happened, you can probably just avoid that and that's great, right? But if it's something more widespread where it's like, well, you know, I can't really eat or I can't really hug you or touch you, okay, that's something that's going to need to be worked through and you want to encourage her to do that, to get that help, okay? So you also want to keep in mind that her symptoms are going to go up and down based on certain dates, certain events, and, you know, other triggers. So certain days might be hard, certain times might be hard, certain ways you approach, even like sexually, right? You may need to think about, okay, how are we going to do sexual activities or physical activities in a way that is at least less trigger and less reminiscent of those negative things. This is why I talk a lot about your kind of mindset when it comes to sex. Like if you're approaching it just as a physical release and your wife, or you're approaching it from like a way to get her to sort of approve of you. In other words, if sex is mainly just about you, that's going to be very difficult for her because that's how she was treated sexually. She was treated as an object. She was treated as, you know, again, something either an object for sexual gratification or for like ego gratification. So if you approach in that same way, even if you're not holding her down and forcing her or whatever, like you're approaching it in a way that is going to be triggering for her. And what I talk about, a lot of people can sense your intentions. So if your intent is, look, I just want that release, or I just want to feel like I'm man enough, right? She's going to sense that, and that's going to turn her off immediately if she's been through any trauma. It's kind of a turn off anyway, but it's going to shut it down completely if she's been through sexual trauma. So when you're approaching instead, like, hey, I care about you, I love you, I want to connect with you, I want to touch you, I want to hold you, right? I want this to be about us in connection. Now that's different, and now that's not going to be so triggering for her, and you can work around some of those maybe physical or other triggers. But again, if you're coming in with an user mindset, that's what she's used to, and that's going to be triggering for her. Okay. Again, remember to find meaning in suffering. So for me, you know, my wife went through a lot of difficult things. And so as I've thought about it and prayed about it, you know, I see this as like really a responsibility and an honor from God to say, look, like here's someone who went through a lot of hard things. Like you're here to help show her what a good man can be, what a good man can look like. And a lot of times I fall into the stuff that I'm telling you guys. I get mad, I get upset. Like, why me? Like, I didn't I didn't traumatize her. Although, you know, when we went through our own therapy, we kind of saw that the way that I was approaching sex was kind of traumatizing. So I had to own that too. And like my own one-up behaviors and kind of, so it helps me to remember that I'm not so perfect either. But to, you know, find that meaning, like, hey, you know, she went through some hard things. My job, I want to connect with God. I want to show her what a really good man looks like. And to my kids too. Do I mess up sometimes? Yeah. Even yesterday, like I had like a blow up. It was really ridiculous. But, you know, when I remember what I'm trying to do, it's helpful. So again, the difficult times, they help you appreciate the good. So yeah, there's going to be down times if your wife went through trauma, but it does help you appreciate those good times even more. It helps you connect with others, right? When you see her suffering or as you go through suffering because of what she's been through, it helps you connect with other people, helps you develop a real compassion for other people. And it helps you develop those Christ-like character traits like patience, love, dedication, persistence, commitment, and like we said, compassion. So keep that in mind, guys. You know, there's meaning to this. All right. So in summary, a lot of people suffer from depression, anxiety, and PTSD. And women are typically more affected by these than men. So if your wife is in that situation, number one, make sure you're taking care of yourself, body, mind, heart, and spirit. Kind of talked about that a lot. Encourage her to get therapy and medication help if necessary. And one of the biggest ones for me, try to get into her shoes. Try to understand what that experience might be like. Try to see her like God sees her. And then find meaning in that suffering, right? That those difficult times, they help us appreciate the good. Also, remember too, you know, if depression is so bad, she's having those thoughts about wanting to die or wanting to kill herself, now it's time to take action. That's like her having a heart attack. You don't wait around and tell her like, eat healthier. You call 911. So same thing here. If she's having thoughts of suicide, you call 911, you call that suicide hotline, 1-800-273-TALK, you get her that help. That's when it's time to step in. Okay. So, but again, if she's suffering from depression, anxiety, PTSD, and look, it's going to be an up and down thing. It's going to be hard sometimes, but finding that purpose in it, those hard times, they help us appreciate the good. They help us connect with people. They help us develop those Christ-like character traits that can be meaningful for you. All right, man. So, stay strong, especially if your wife's suffering from these things. Like, you can do it. You're going to get through it. So is she. All right. Stay strong. We will see you next episode. And if you're wanting to take this further and learn more of these tools to build your strength, visit MikeFrazierMD.com and sign up for the Strongman System. It's $2,500. It's going to be worth that $2,500 if you do the work, or you're going to get that $2,500 back. So check it out, MikeFrazierMD.com. We will see you next episode. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, please leave a review on iTunes and share the episode with a friend so we can help create stronger men and stronger marriages across the world. And if you're ready to take your strength training and your marriage to the next level, visit strongmenstrongmarriages.com to learn how.
I'll see you there.